stuff, but it's still a good song in spite of all that. And anyway, if you get onto the chorus, join in. My old friend here at the right, getting older all the time as well.
He's feeling a bit older.
Will join me at some point. So, and we'll try and keep W.C. Fields out of this.
Didn't see any foxes here this week.
So this is called The Darling Baby, a camp ballad. Ah, when I was young, a bachelor, the brightest e'er seen. Sure, my friends all said I looked so very miserable and mean. Till at last I took unto myself a darling wife, alas. Everybody that I met said, Jack, old boy, you must have been an ass. I was like the man with the donkey. Whenever he carried the donkey, it is wrong. Whenever the donkey carried him, it is wrong. It is the same with me. When I got married, it was wrong. Whenever I was single, it was wrong. Everybody kept shouting at me, what do you want a wife for? Yes, what do I want a wife for? Last night, as I got into bed, there came a knock to our front window, and I shouts, who's there? Me. Who's me? What's in your father-in-law? Tell her daughter her mother's very ill and wants to see her at once. So, of course, up gets my wife. On goes her bonnet and shawl and off to see her poor dear mother, leaving me in care of the baby just weaned and not a single soul in the house but myself, the servant girl had left that day far too big for her place. Well, it began to roar and I began to sing. Oh, my darling cheeker, Billy Chum, wait until your mommy comes. Wouldn't you like to suck your thumb? Was ever a man so born? But the more I kitchy-kitchied so and walked it up down to and fro, and I give it everything, you know, but the more the darling roared. Well, dear, oh Lord, what will I do? And I searched it all about for to find a box of matches, for the candle had gone out. And I tripped over a bale that took all the bark off my shins. And this is what I said when I was rubbing my leg. Oh, my darling cheeker, Billy Chum, wait until your mommy comes. Wouldn't you like to suck your thumb? Was ever a man so born? But the more I kitchy-kitchied so and walked it up down to and fro, and I give it everything, you know, but the more the darling roared. Well, at last I found a Lucifer, a solitary one. Dear, oh Lord, to my surprise, when I first saw my son, for his cheeks were of a beetroot red and the tears run down like rain. And when I picked him up, he started out again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this is what I sung when I shoved the bolster over his head. Oh, my darling cheeker, Billy Chum, wait until your mummy comes. Wouldn't you like to suck your thumb? Was ever a man so born? But the more I kitchy-kitchied so and walked it up down to and fro, and I give it everything, you know, but the more the darling roared. Well, I give him toys and I give him food and I give him everything, and without my clothes I left about and I danced the Highland Fling. Ah, but no, he wouldn't have it at all, and he yelped and cried the more. And when I give it up for lost, my wife came through the door, his mother, my wife. And when he heard her, he was as quiet as a mouse, the wretch. She says, I hope the baby's been good, and I says, yes. Here am I for this last 3 hours, leaping up and down in this cold oilcloth and shouting as if I was mad. Oh, my darling cheeker, Billy Chum, wait until your mommy comes. Wouldn't you like to suck your thumb? Was ever a man so born? But the more I kitchy-kitchied so and walked it up down to and fro, and I give it everything, you know, but the more the darling roared. Thank you, culture lovers. Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to play some music from Scotland. Now we're going to play three marches. They're really kind of bagpipe marches, and the bagpipes are an amazing instrument, and you can do lots of things with bagpipes. You can plug up the chanter and walk underwater with them and breathe. You can do... Wow. You know, in fact, we heard they were discovered by Jacques Cousteau, but that's another thing. And anyway, they used to be octopuses and then they turned into bagpipes. And these are three marches, all composed to frighten the English. That's on our right here, your left, our right.
Couldn't work.
First one's called the Cameron Highlanders, and the second one is called the Balkan Hills, which is when the Scots were in the Balkans fighting the Yugoslavians in the First World War, when they were supposed to be fighting the Germans. and then the last one is called the Athol and Bradalban Highlanders, Gathering, which is a kind of a tune for a Highland game. So that.
You might, anybody that knows Scots music, you might notice that these marches are played slightly faster than march tempo. This is because the tradition of the Scots army meant that the marches were used mainly in retreat, you see.
Enjoy it.
go straight into it, Alex.
Well, I bet. Yeah, we're going to finish with the tune. How we've been running, all the concerts have been running kind of a little behind time, so we're going to try and keep it. Snappy. We went on last night, and we wouldn't want to be the person going on last tonight, so we're going to keep it snappy. We're going to finish with a tune that we call "The Lady" that we like a lot. Well, no, we don't like it really anymore. But its real name is "The Mason's Apron," and it's kind of a reel that we like a lot, and it's been such a nice weekend here that we're going to end it all with this. At least for us.
How does he do it?
He doesn't read music either.
As well.
I know. Oh, come on, the
fun is it? Thank you.
Rubbish.
Turn this up a little. But can you all hear this? Oh, good. God bless you. Now I'm going to leave you for this year. But I hope to leave you happy. And I'm not going to do a whole lot of talk. But I guess we just get right on into it. Just to Yeah.
G sharp.
Come up here and play a funny little thing. Something funny. Something he put in his mouth and go. Now he can tell you what it is when you get here. Mr. Arnie Kaplan. Don't ask me what it is, man. Ask him if you don't know. What that thing is. Oh, about something that I haven't been giving you. I don't mean to bum rush. You all right?
just a moment, we're going to take a break. But I'd like to relate a few things, which has a folk culture club that has been for a number of years, till I guess last year when they had a leave of absence under the direction of George and Vaughn Ward. And one of the major activities of that group was the running of a folk festival. These young people put on a folk festival by themselves, and they are probably some of the hardest workers and the most sympathetic toward the kinds of problems that one has in putting on a festival of all the people who work here, having done it several times themselves. And for several years now, they have operated our information booth. And last year, they did a number displaying the kinds of things that had been left in the information booth. Now, we had the music writer from the New York Times here, and in his review of the festival, he allowed as to how that was the high point. And I believe it was. It was just an incredible piece of work. Well, they're back again, friends, the Niskayuna High School Folk Culture Club.
First song we're gonna do is Rosebud in June, and it's a sheep shearing song. And after listening to the news today, I'd like to dedicate it to the oil companies who are trying to fleece all of us. And it has a chorus. I'd like you to sing along with us. It's a rosebud in June, and the violets in full bloom, and the small birds are singing love songs from each spray. We'll pipe and we'll sing love, we'll dance in a ring, love, when each lad takes his lass all on the green grass. And it's all to plough where the fat oxen graze low, and the lads and the lasses do sheep shearing go. When we have all sheared our jolly, jolly sheep, what joy can be greater than to talk of their increase? We'll pipe and we'll sing, love, we'll dance in a ring, love, when each lad takes his lass all on the green grass. And it's all to plough where the fat oxen graze low, and the lads and the lasses do sheep shearing go. Their flesh, it is good, it's the best of all food, and their wool, it will clothe us and keep our backs from cold. We'll pipe and we'll sing, love, we will dance in a ring, love, when each lad takes his lass all on the green grass. And it's all to
A word of explanation. It's hard to... And this is not exactly the place to try to talk about how this folk culture club came to be, or even what it is. What you see is what you get. Nevertheless, we didn't start life as a performing group. We were invited to come, and some of us do. And it's a nice thing. The Folk Culture Club is associated with Niskayuna High School, but really, it's kind of a gathering of friends, and it's spread out through the years so that Tim Cavanaugh, who just led the sheep shearing song, is no longer at Niskayuna High School, and may or may not ever be back, I don't know. And we just keep going, finding things in one another and interests that we share. This is one of them. It's a dance called The Waves of Tory. Thank you. Well, with those preliminaries out of the way, here's what you have all been waiting for. The reason you've been waiting for it is because you've lost it. So whatever it is you're missing or you need, come up to the information booth and we'll do our best to supply you.
What was that? next are some old and dear friends who've been coming to the Fox Hollow Festival since 1966. And when Bob and I moved into the house here in 65, we had a big Thanksgiving gathering, and the Dildines were there at that gathering, and I believe they had just one marionette with them at that time. I think it was Mr. Froggy. And correct me if I'm wrong, John and Jenny. And we played with that marionette. Everybody had a chance to dance it, and we were all delighted with it. And they were using the marionette with the song Froggy Went A-Courtin'. And Bob was so delighted. He said, "Why don't you guys prepare something for the next for the festival?" And so they did. And I think that the Dildines, marionettes, and the family has become a tradition at Fox Hollow, and this may be their last appearance as a family group, because the kids are all grown up and they're all going their separate ways, and as children must do. And so with a great deal of nostalgia, I present the Dildine family to you.
Sound. I love that sound. Okay, I think what I'll do is something a little different from this. I think this orange one is going to end up being on the banjo, and the green one is going to end up being on the voice, and this yellow one is going to end up being on something else eventually. How are you? Just wet. Quack, quack, quack. The whole barnyard out here. You walk 10 feet in this weather and the banjo changes tuning. This is a song that's on the record that we made last year. Okay, are you prepared for the darkness to descend? We're using what we call black light, which is ultraviolet light, and what it does is to make certain things glow.
And I'm going to turn a couple of switches, and Jenny's going to sing a song.
This is a song we learned from Gene Ritchie. And John usually sings this one, but I'm going to sing it tonight. It's sort of a ghost story. Some of you have probably heard it. It's called The Old Woman All Skin and Bones. And the lights are going to go out in a minute. You can turn the lights out. Lights out?
Lights out! The lights went out in the sound booth.
There was an old woman all skin and bones who she lived down by the old churchyard. One day she decided to take a walk. Ooh. She walked down by the old graveyard. Ooh. She saw the bones all walking around. Ooh. She decided to sweep the old graveyard. She went to the closet to get a broom. Ooh. She opened the door. Okay, now we're going to do something a little different. This is a song called Villikins and Dinah, and John's going to sing.
But you're going to help.
I'm going to help.
You're going to sit on that side of me,
oh,
maybe?
I can.
Why don't you do that? You use the orange one.
All right.
And I'll use the green one, and the yellow one will be the guitar. Giving a lot of fun
the
out
same.
There.
Gordon says they all
taste
the same.
They all taste the same, like foam rubber.
Okay, what's the trick?
Somebody... Howie Mitchell is just back here, and he said he'd just seen this from out front, and I reminded him that the reason that we first started doing that kind of stuff was the black light thing, was because he brought us a black light and some Day-Glo marking pen things once.
Yeah.
And it sort of grew from there. Howie is a great one for getting you involved in thinking about things. This is one of the great epics of all time. And you may recognize something that came from something very close to your anatomy, but before your anatomy ever touched it.
Oh, that's, I don't think anybody will ever
guess.
You
want to tell them what it is?
I think we told people last year what these faces are made out of. You know, the Twin Towers up here in Intertangle, Folk and Lock and Wood, and all these places have these seats and these great, to make the hole, there's a, like the donut has to have a hole, there has to be a piece in the middle, see? And so I saw all these things stacked up outside of the outhouses when they finished them, and I thought, well, aren't they great? You know, I can make something out of those, you know? And so that's what these faces are made out of, they're outhouse holes.
It is all a merchant, I'm going to Bell, who had for a daughter an uncommon nice young gal. Her name, it was Dinah, just 16 years old, with a very large fortune in silver and gold. Singing, Tooralai, Tooralai, Tooralai.
It was the front garden, not the back garden.
Her father came to her and to her did say, go dress yourself, Dinah, in gorgeous array, and I'll bring you a husband both gallant and gay. So
Tooralai, Tooralai, Tooralai. This is what the infant progeny said to the author of her being.
Oh father, the daughter, she cried, I don't feel inclined to be merry, aye, aye. And all my large fortune I'll gladly give o'er, if you let me live single a year or two more. Sing,
Tooralai, Tooralai, Tooralai.
Daughter, the father, he said, if you don't feel inclined to be merry, I am, I'll give your large fortune to the nearest of kin, and shan't reap the benefit of one single pin. Sing,
Tooralai, Tooralai, Tooralai. Next come the epiflabbergastronom of the lovier.
Huzzah! As Philikins was walking the garden around,
that was the aforesaid front garden,
he spied his dear Dinah lying dead on the ground, with a cup of cold poison lying down by her side,
taken internally.
And the Billy Doo, which said 'twas by poison, sing,
Tooralai, Tooralai, Tooralai. Now this is what the lovier did.
He kissed her cold corpses a thousand times o'er, and he called her his Dinah, though she was no more. Then he drank up the poison and sang a short stave. Billikins and his Dinah were laid in one grave. Sing,
Tooralai, Tooralai, Tooralai.
Oh, sorry to break the mood. Very serious now.
At 12 the next night, neath a tall poplar tree, the ghost of his Dinah the Parian did see, arm in arm with her Billikins and both looking blue, saying,
we wouldn't have been poisoned if it hadn't been for you.
And singing, oh, I
Tooralai, Tooralai, Tooralai.
But as he was starting, he was seized with a shiver, which shook him to pieces and ended him forever. Sing,
Tooralai, Tooralai, Tooralai. And now, the moral.
Now all you young girls, don't you thus fall in love, nor do that which is by no means disliked by your governor, and all you young men, mind who you clap eyes on. Think of Billikins and Dinah, not forgetting the poison.
Else you'll be singing
Tooralai. Harry made up the list tonight. I don't know what's in this. Where's the list? Oh, I'm sitting on the list.
Well, I think it moved. It's gone somewhere.
Those are the words of that last song that I didn't forget. The next
one?
Oh, this is a song which we learned from Bob and Evelyn Beers.
Preposterous grin, a hypanostome. It's true, exactly what I saw. It's true, before my very eyes. As I went into town one day, I saw a strange thing on the way. A gormal elephanto may, all on a market day. It had a tail upon its nose. It came from Aphrodaphrobos, where people never wear their clothes. An elephanto may. It's true, exactly what I saw. It's true, before my very eyes. As I went into town one day, I saw a strange thing on the way. A nurdle crocodoodle may, all on a market day. Its back looked like a pocketbook. Some feller caught it on a hook. It ate him when he tried to look. A crocodoodle may. It's true, exactly what I saw. It's true, before my very eyes. Strange thing on the way, an apple crapple pando may, all on a market day. On its bare skin it had some hair, which made it look just like a bear. It doesn't come from anywhere, a crapple pando may.
It's true,
exactly what I saw.
It's true,
before my very eyes.
Thank you. Now we're going to sing you the Ballad of Springfield Mountain.
Hey,
you think I could be a sound person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Here we are again with the mic, with the thing
yeah, I'll
in
trade
your,
places with you.
In your eye. Okay. Chuck is still with it there. And that goes up. This is fun. I'm usually sitting out there trying to figure out what they're doing up here.
Well, I don't know about that thing. Well, just hope they watch out for it. On Springfield Mountain, there did dwell One day this young man, he did go down to the meadow for to mow. To Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay. He had not mowed but half the field when a poison serpent bit his heel.
That's a very high heel.
To Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay. He hurried home to his Molly dear, and he said, I feel so very queer. To Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay. Oh, Jimmy dear, why did you go down to the meadow for to mow? To Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay.
Oh, Molly dear, I thought you knowed it was Daddy's hay and it had to be mowed. To Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay.
Now Molly had two ruby lips with which the poison she did sip. To Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay. But Molly had a rotten tooth, and so the poison killed them both. To Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay. People are falling down right and left around here tonight. What's the moral of this song?
Well, our friends all knew it.
Their friends all knew it. In a minute, they dug a hole and rolled them in it. To Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay. A warning take, each lad and lass, don't go astray in the long grass. To Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay. But if you do our warning take, don't get bitten by a poison snake.
Symbolic.
To Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay, to Rudy Nay. Gordon Bach has written some beautiful songs that we love, and one of the ones that we decided to visualize, it's the only one we've done so far, but I hope we get to do more, is the Herring Croon, and Gordon is going to come up and sing it while we do the blacklight visuals.
The lights are going to go again momentarily. And what you see being laid out here are the things which will glow at you. You know, I assume that Jenny does... that Jenny does all the visual design. and basically all the work at putting the visual things together. And we all argue about the rest of it. Lights?
We got a phone call from Ed Trickett. And he suggested a special dedication to a very fine hammer dulcimer player who had recently passed away. And sounded like a neat idea. And Ed pulled it together. And it's about to happen. But before we do that, I want to talk about another conversation that I had today with the gentleman who's going to moderate this. Not moderating, he's going to talk. He's from Grand Rapids. His name is Buck Matthews. And that's the Grand Rapids Folk Music Society Eastern contingent. The Thruway is prepared for them every year. As you heard me say earlier, we have a Robert H. Beers Memorial Archive that we are trying to create, construct, form, and make happen. And Buck and the Folk Music Society were greatly influenced by Bob and Evelyn. And Buck kept seeing a log cabin, or actually it was, he said it was a shingled building, for a number of years as he was going up to his cabin in the woods. And one time he stopped and looked at it, found out it was about a 100-year-old log cabin, and discovered that he could, in fact, acquire that cabin. It's 16 by 24. And then it occurred to him and his wife that it might be a neat idea to pre-